of God, and let's dig in today. We're continuing our Matthew series, and Yeshua has been teaching his disciples. As I've been mentioning the last few weeks, he's teaching them the famous Sermon on the Mount, right? Which is really Yeshua's drash, his discourse on the Torah, what it means to follow Torah in our everyday lives, what it meant to follow Torah 2,000 years ago, what it means to follow Torah today. And so we want to go deeper. We want to go past just the rote commandments, and we want to see how the mitzvot apply to our lives today as believers. Now, today's topic that we get to, the text is Matthew 6, 25 to 34, the last section in chapter 6 of Matthew. And the text and topic today is something that I think every single one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, deals with, struggles with. And that is the concept of worry. So we're going to be talking about worry today. Now, what's really cool about the Bible, one of the great things about the Bible, is it's filled with imperfect people. Some of them are pretty good, you know, good imperfect people that they're striving for the Lord. Some of them not so much, okay? We read about all different types of characters in the Bible. Some characters like Saul and Jonah, they really don't respond well when God calls many times. They give us examples of what not to do. See, all the characters in the Bible are examples for us. Some of them are what not to do, and some of them are what to do. Many people like Abraham, many people like Isaiah, who we quoted from earlier in Isaiah chapter 6, those are good examples for us. Those are the people that we can look to as kind of like our heroes or our role models or people that got it right, people that surrendered to God, followed God, and went deeper with God. So we can learn from all of them. And when we look at the concept and the topic of worry, anxiety, fear, all that, what better example to look at least I thought, than Daniel. Daniel, who was one of the prophets. He has a book named after him, Daniel. And we're going to be looking at that book today, and we're going to be paralleling Daniel chapter 6 with the end of Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at a real world or character example of worry and how we can look at that example of what to do versus what not to do when it comes to worry. So turn to Daniel chapter 6 with me. Daniel was, as a young man, he was of course a Hebrew, he was a Jewish man, and he was taken at a very young age. When the Babylonian exile happened, which was a very dark time for us as a people, taken out of the land, sent out of the land for sin, for dishonoring God, for not following and walking in God's ways. Many of the young men were sent, including Daniel, and he went to Babylon, really never to return. His life was changed forever as a young man. But because the Lord was with Daniel, because Daniel was with the Lord and the Lord was with Daniel, Daniel did prosper in Babylon. Let's read about that. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Can you imagine that? Babylon, the great superpower of the world at the time, the one who caused Israel to go into exile, very, very strong and powerful nation. And Daniel, a Jewish young man, gets to become basically like Joseph, like second in the kingdom. He was very high and high up in the food chain, so to speak, in Babylon. Everything seemed to be going well for Daniel in his new life that he had in Babylon. But just like in our lives, trouble was coming. It wasn't just a perfect life that Daniel lived, you know, eating grapes and just hanging out in Babylon, you know, and second in command. We're going to see today how, when the trouble came for Daniel, Daniel didn't let worry overtake him. He didn't allow worry to get in, fill up his time, and he chose to have faith and not fear in the face of real struggle, real challenges in his life. So now let's go to Matthew 6, our text today. We're going to start off with verses 25 and 26. These are Yeshua's words as he's giving his discourse to the disciples and all the people there. As you can see, envision the setting at the Sea of Galilee on that hill that's overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And he says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Now, what a passage of Scripture. Worry, anxiety is such a common thing. I think we all battle with it. Some of us to a bigger extent than others. You know, there's a lot of anxiety out there in the world today. Some of it is clinical anxiety. Some of it is just general anxiety that many of us have. But we all experience one way or another, to one extreme or another, anxiety or worry. Now, the definition of worry, listen to this. The definition of worry is, quote, to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts, end quote. That's pretty bad, right? To torment oneself. When we worry, when we fear, when we have anxiety, we're tormenting ourselves with disturbing thoughts. It's never positive. And here's the thing, though. We wouldn't worry if everything was great in our lives. Can you imagine having a life where you don't have to worry about anything? Food, clothing, shelter, you know, house, job, children, parents, whatever. Pets, you know, we worry about all these things. We have problems. We wouldn't worry if everything was great. But guess what? Nothing's ever great. Didn't you love that as a kid, where you just kind of grow up thinking as a little kid, oh man, I'm just going to grow up, and you know, you plan out your life. I'm going to have 2.4 kids, picket fence, little puppy, you know, everything's going to go fine. And then you grow up and you find out that there's problems in life. There's issues you have to deal with. Whether it's illness, whether it's strife, whether it's whatever going on, you can fill in the blank. There's always problems. There's always hardships that we're facing. There's always technology issues we have to deal with, right? Anything and everything you can imagine, there's always problems. Daniel experienced problems. He didn't have it all great. Cause for him to really, really worry. We're going to talk about that. Turn with me back to Daniel 6. We're going to go to verse 7. As we continue with Daniel's story, and as our example of what to do when the trouble comes, we look at a situation that Daniel found himself in that was pretty bad. Remember, he was really high up in the king's court. Everything seemed to be going well, and then the trouble comes. Daniel chapter 6, verse 7. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, all agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And if you know the background, I don't have time to read it all. You know the background, there was some people that were jealous of Daniel, jealous that he was so high up and ranking in the king's court, and he was a Hebrew. You know, not like them as Babylonians, they plotted to do away with Daniel. And the way that they figured out, the clever way was, well, let's have the king pass an ordinance and make him think like he's doing this wonderful thing, that everybody should bow down to just the king. Because they knew that Daniel bowed down and prayed to the God of Israel. They knew that. So this was a real problem. Because Daniel worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like we do, we know that from the Shema, you know, Deuteronomy 6:4, we know that we're supposed to worship God and God alone, or God only, not another person. We don't bow down to kings, you know. We don't bow down to rulers. We don't worship other people. We worship the one true, we don't worship other idols. We worship only the one true God. Daniel was faced with this dilemma. Now, think about it. If you were in his shoes, I'd be freaking out a little bit. I'd have a little bit of worry and anxiety probably creep in. Daniel could have chosen that. He could have chosen to freak out. But turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Many of us would freak out in that situation, right? The anticipation. You know, even when there's an anticipation of a problem, I would naturally tend to freak out, right? I'm a little bit neurotic by nature. So, you know, I would freak out if there's a potential problem coming, much less a real problem coming like that problem that Daniel faced. And Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 tells us this: anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. You ever felt weighed down by anxiety or worry? Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Now, that there was, if there was ever a truer verse than this, I have felt the weight, the crippling weight of anxiety in my life, and I have felt when a good word lifts my spirits, right? But anxiety can be exhausting. When we feel, when we get into these situations and we feel that weight on us, it can be crippling. And it is work to start worrying. We go into work mode of worrying. Point number one, in our lesson today is the concept of worrying, the concept of anxiety. If we're not careful, it's going to wear us out. Worrying will wear you and me out. I know, because I've been worn out before. You know, and you're probably shaking your head in your mind because you've been worn out before by worrying. Worrying will wear you out. It's those times when the decree happens and we have cause to worry that we should look to say, what does God say to do when we get in these situations? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. I thought of this verse, which I love, these two verses we're going to read, verses 13 and 14. I thought of them, and then I realized this is our Torah portion for this week. This is Beshalach. So it was like a confirmation from the Lord, and it is a fantastic Torah portion. Rabbi Allen talked about it. I talked about it briefly. And in Exodus chapter 14, let me set the stage for these two verses. The children of Israel had just come out because of the Exodus. They had just been delivered miraculously. God had drawn them out by bringing 10 miraculous and terrifying plagues on the Egyptians, destroyed the country, broke the spirit of the people, broke the Pharaoh. They were on their way out, victorious. They had taken all the spoils of Egypt, gold and silver, you know, the stuff they used to build the tabernacle and later the temple. That's the stuff that they took out. Everything seemed to be going great, like the whole Daniel story. But then trouble comes. What happens? Pharaoh says, wait a minute, I can't lose all my resources to build these pyramids and to build up the country of Egypt. I got to go after those Hebrews. So he sends a large army with chariots and weapons after Israel. Israel was walking around, as Rabbi Allen mentioned, with livestock. Millions of people walking without weapons, without a way to defend themselves. This was, if ever, a cause to worry. Here's what Moses tells the people from the Lord, I believe. Exodus 14, 13 and 14. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. What a word is that, right? So when the trouble comes, when the fear and anxiety starts up, we have to remember verses like Exodus 14, 13, and 14. Specifically 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. What do we do when we start worrying? We start fighting for our survival. We start trying to figure out and scheme how we're going to get out of this situation. Well, if I'm clever enough, I can say this. Well, if I'm strong enough, I can do this. We're not supposed to do those things. We're supposed to do what Moses, from the Lord, instructed them, which is, let the Lord fight for us. We only have to be silent. For the Lord to fight for us, we got to stop worrying. We got to get out of the way. If we're in the way, God can't move. You got to get yourself out of the way so that God can work and fight the battles for you in your life. Now go back to Matthew chapter 6. Go to verse 27. So Yeshua's talking about worry, talking about anxiety. Everybody's been there. Everybody knows what's going on. And then he says this in Matthew 6, 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Boy, the way we work at worrying, you would think that we could add on all this time, right? That we could fix things, that we could stop time or whatever. But Yeshua is even saying this. You're worrying yourself. You're spinning around with worry and anxiety. Can it even add a single hour to your life? The answer is, of course, no. But worry does the opposite. it wastes our time, doesn't it? It takes away from the time of our lives. It has the opposite effect. Worry produces things like stress, discomfort, doubt. We're clouded. We can't even think clearly. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. As believers, as followers of Yeshua, as disciples of the Lord, we have to have a certain mindset. And there's nowhere in these next two verses I'm going to read where it says worry is one of those particular mindsets that we have. That fear is part of it. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, this is how we should be as believers, our mindset. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Point number two, worry does not produce good fruit in your life. It doesn't produce anything we just talked about. Worry is like the opposite effect of all of those things, peace, joy, self-control. On the other end of the spectrum is worry. When we are in the midst of worrying and letting that overtake us, we're not allowing God to work. We're not allowing the Spirit of the living God to fill us with his joy, his love, his peace, etc., etc. Worry doesn't produce good fruit in your life. Now go back to Daniel 6, verse 10. Daniel is experiencing real turmoil, real trouble. He could choose to let worry be his mindset or the other one, right? The Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit mindset. Daniel 6, 10, let's see what happens. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house and he freaked out. No, that's not what it says, sorry. He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. He was facing Jerusalem. You know, when we get up and we say the Shema, we face towards Jerusalem. It comes from that scripture when Solomon is dedicating the temple where he says, if we return to you, God, if we incline our ear and our face towards you and turn towards your sanctuary, turn towards Jerusalem. So Daniel was doing that. He was in exile in Babylon. He was turning towards Jerusalem and he was praying three times a day. The three times a day is obviously to mimic and to mirror the three times that the sacrifices were given. And, you know, in Judaism, we have the three times where we pray a day. And we say, you know, the Amidah prayers, which paralleled, you know, when they gave the sacrifices in the temple. Daniel didn't have a temple. He wasn't in Israel. He couldn't do the sacrifices or be part of that. What he could do is pray three times a day towards Jerusalem. Pray to the one true God. But I really love this scripture because instead of stressing out about the edict, like many of us would do, like I know I would probably do, knee-jerk reaction, he goes into his chambers and does what he had always done. He gets on his knees, he prays to the Lord, and he serves his God through worshiping him, praying to him. He doesn't give worry a foothold. He knows it won't produce good fruit in his walk or his life. Because worry is toxic. It's toxic to us as believers. What it does is it takes us off track with God. I mentioned it puts doubt in our minds. It clouds our minds so that we can't think clearly and allow the Lord to speak to us. We can't allow the Lord in. It robs us of shalom, of peace. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is such a great scripture to remind ourselves of when worry comes. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. Many times when edicts come out in our lives and we don't know what to do, and we're confused and we're troubled in our minds, we need to remember scriptures like this. We need to be like Daniel. We need to go and we need to do what we've always done, which is seek the Lord. Get down on our knees, you know, go to him in prayer. Read his word. Worship him. Don't be anxious because God will fight the battles for us. Remember that scripture in Exodus. And I love the fact that this word here says, Philippians 6, 4, 6, and 7, it says the peace of God does something really special for us. It guards our heart and our minds. What's the best defense against worry? It's not a sword and a shield. It's not our own strength. It's the peace of God that literally, according to the Word of God, guards our hearts and our minds. The enemy, the devil, wants to get us off track. He wants us to be consumed with fear and worry. He wants us to get off track with God. But nobody, the enemy or anybody else in our lives, can rob us from the peace of God that guards our hearts and our minds unless we allow it. Unless you and I allow it to get in. We can't allow it to get in. Put up that shield of peace that we can have, the peace of God that will guard our hearts and our minds from worry. Now go to Matthew 6, and verse 33 in Matthew 6 is such a key, pivotal, seminal verse for us, quoted a lot. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So Yeshua is talking about worry, and then he, you know, busts out with this verse here, and focus on God. Focus on his kingdom. Focus on his righteousness. Don't focus on the worry. Because when we focus on his kingdom and his righteousness, things fall into place. Not everything's going to be perfect in our lives. We're still going to have trouble, but our perspective is there. The peace of God is guarding our hearts and our minds. We could be like Daniel. Worry equals fear. Worry equals fear. And the fear, if we're not careful, can consume us. Go to Psalm 112. Psalm 112, 6 and 7. Instead of filling up our lives with the fear and the worry, which so easily can fill us and consume us, we need to fill up the space with something. You can either fill up the space, your energy, your life, with fear, or, and these are mutually exclusive, you can fill it up with faith. Psalm 112, 6 and 7. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. If we want to be righteous people before the Lord, we need to claim, take hold of verses like this. We will not be afraid of bad news. Our heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Point number three today, replace the fear with faith. You got to put something in that space. Let's take out the fear. Let's put in the faith. Let's not let fear dictate our mindset or our decision-making. Now, let's go back to our friend Daniel, our good example, Daniel 6:16. What happened to Daniel? He put his faith in God. He trusted God when trouble came, when that edict came. You'd think, oh, well, God just, you know, sends angels to carry him away, you know, or something like that. Didn't happen like that, did it? Daniel 6:16. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." The king really liked Daniel. He was, of course, his like right-hand man. I'm sure they had a nice, pleasant, good relationship together. But the king, like anybody, talking about Pharaoh and the plagues recently, talking about the king of Babylon, they had their hands tied politically. The king couldn't go back on his word. He would look weak, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Politics comes into play. And he had to put Daniel in the lion's den, even though he didn't want to. So Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel, listen to this. Daniel says this in verse 22 of Daniel 6. What happens? Well, supernaturally, God intervenes, of course. Daniel doesn't get eaten up by the lions. This happens. Daniel 6:22. "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." When I look at, like, you know, pictures or Bible stories of this, what do you always see? You see, like, Daniel petting the lion, you know. Everybody, the lion is lying down with the lamb kind of thing. What it does is it defies logic, and it defies the natural. Because God works many times in our lives, if we allow him to, in the supernatural. So I can just envision Daniel there hanging out with the lions. Everything's fine. The peace of God has guarded his heart and his mind. He's petting the nice lions. They're just hanging out with him. And, you know, it's kind of like the picture of what we're going to have in heaven with the Lord. kind of like the picture that Adam and Eve had before the fall in the Garden of Eden, right? How beautiful is that picture? But it's so awesome. Daniel, full of faith and trust in the Lord, and God delivers him. God delivers him. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Allow the Lord to work. Trust in God. Have faith in the one that can redeem your life and my life from the pit, who can supernaturally, not naturally, because it defies natural logic, supernaturally do a work in your life. We have to believe that God works in the supernatural. You may say, well, I've never seen, you know, somebody get healed, or I've never seen this. Well, I'm telling you, I've seen miracles in my own life. Maybe other people couldn't see them, but I knew it was God working. I knew it was God doing something supernatural in my life. And if you've allowed the Lord to work when the fear wanted to come in, you could see also in your life. There's been examples in my life I could point to where God supernaturally did a work that was beyond logic and natural understanding. It was supernatural. Because God wants to be our deliverer. He wants to be our redeemer. Turn with me to Romans 8. Last scripture today. You know, we need to understand true biblical theology, which is you put your faith in God. God's not going to solve all your problems, in this life at least. He's going to redeem us. But it's not this whole name it and claim it or prosperity gospel or as long as I just trust God, I'll have health, wealth, and happiness. It doesn't work like that. Biblically speaking, it doesn't work like that. There was not an absence of problems in Daniel's life. There was not an absence of problems in all of these characters' lives. It's how they handled it when trouble came. There's not going to be an absence of problems in our lives, whether it's illness, sickness, whatever you can... Like I said, fill in the blank, but it's how we approach things. Romans 8, 37 to 39. What a powerhouse three verses here. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be... And by the way, the enemy is a created being, okay? Anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Daniel faced many problems. The apostles faced many problems. What makes us think that we won't face problems? But we don't have to let the fear consume us. We don't have to let the worry overtake us. How are we going to live our lives today? The world out there is consumed with fear. The world out there, if we just listen for 5 minutes, we can get whipped up in the hailstorm of worry, of fear. Fear of COVID, fear of war, fear of illness, fear of this, fear of that. There's no end to the fear. Daniel had a difficult life. Remember, he was carted away as a young man. He never got the opportunity to go back to Israel. He never saw the fruit of it all. Look at somebody else. We just finished studying Joseph in our Torah portions. Same deal. At a young age, his life was shattered, taken from him, never to be the same. His life was really not his own. Yes, he was second in command of Egypt, but he couldn't return to his homeland. He couldn't return fully to his people. Many of us have situations in our life, brokenness. We're burdened by anxiety. We turn on the news, we turn on the radio, we get it on the internet, we get it on social media. There's no end to it. But God has not given you and I a spirit of fear. I don't have this verse up, but I'm just going to quote it to you. 2 Timothy, you can write this one down. You can go to the bank with this one. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Let's replace the fear and the worry with power and love and self-control. Not our power, but the power of the Lord. You and I are weary from all the fear going on outside. Let's replace the fear with faith. I'm going to close the service now. And as I close the service with a special blessing for all of us, I'm going to personally invite you, if you're here, if you want prayer, if you need to break that chain of fear and consuming worry, you can come up. The elders will be here. We'll pray with you. And we know that it's not too difficult for God to break those chains. we know that God is right there waiting for us to get out of the way so that he can come in and be our redeemer, so that he can be our deliverer, so that he can redeem us from the pit. So I just encourage you today, if you need prayer, if you're feeling in a rut, go to the Lord. You can come up for prayer. Allow the Lord to fill you up with his peace, with his faith, and replace that. Take the fear out and replace it with faith. That's what I believe God is calling us to do in this day and age in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you because your word sheds light where there's darkness. Your word gives us the answers. It doesn't make everything good. It doesn't change all the issues in our lives because we live in a world full of sin. We live in a world full of fear, full of illness, full of problems. But Lord, we know that the peace that passes all understanding can be in us and that can guard our hearts and our minds from fear. And as things are falling apart around us, we're going to be made whole and have your peace. I pray for each and every person here that's struggling right now with fear, anxiety, consuming worry in their lives, depression, not knowing where to turn. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would drop the scales, break the chains, and supernaturally, Lord, show them yourself today. Break through as only you can. We pray for all of our community that's going through sickness and illness. I pray for every single person that's out sick right now, whether it's with COVID, whether it's with the flu, whether it's with a cold or a cough or anything. We pray for redemptive healing by the power and the blood of Yeshua. And we pray, Lord God, that you would keep us as a witness as things are happening and as the darkness is out there. Let us be light, the light of you. We thank you, God, and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Let's stand.